Today on Know the Truth, a message from Philip DeCourcy.
You see, God is so in control that even when we act with the best of motives and the fullest of understandings, and even though I make what perceived to me and others as a good, informed, biblical, godly decision, God could still stop that because He's got a better plan and He can work all things together for good.
Welcome to Know the Truth with Philip DeCourcy. I'm Wayne Shepherd. And today, Pastor Philip reminds us how God will direct our paths when we acknowledge Him in all our ways. We're learning that making wise decisions requires holiness and consecration with a challenging message from our study in the book of Proverbs titled, That Makes Good Sense. If you missed the first few messages in this series on wisdom, you can access them online at ktt.org. Now, with the conclusion of a four-part message titled, A Step in the Right Direction, here's Philip.
We are the sum of our decisions. And therefore, the hardest thing to learn in life is which bridges to cross and which bridges to burn. And the book of Proverbs is here to help us because this is a book that sets before us two paths. There's the path to wisdom and there's the path to folly. And this book encourages us that good decision-making involves or requires consecration. Turn to Proverbs 4 and verse 26. You'll probably read it something like this. Ponder the path of your feet, that your way or your thoughts may be established. I like the way the New Living Translation puts it. Mark out a straight path for your feet, then stick to the path and stay safe. This is a verse that encourages us when it comes to decision making, that all our decisions are predicated upon a decision, and that is a predisposition to obedience. Before you and I make any other decision, we have got to decide for God's will. We've got to know what God wants us to do through heeding His word, and once we know it, we'll mark out a straight path, the path we know God wants us to take, and we'll stick to it, and that will be the safe path. Christians get themselves into all kinds of trouble because they haven't made up their mind to be obedient. This not only requires consecration, it requires consultation. Here's the point here. This is our second thought about decision making. Good decisions usually come from good advice. Good decisions usually come from good advice. Advice from godly people, more seasoned people than ourselves. While it is seldom sought, it is highly recommended by the Bible. Proverbs 12, verse 15. Fools think they need no advice, but the wise listen to others. Proverbs 19, verse 20. Get all the advice and instruction you can and be wise the rest of your life. You see, wisdom comes from those who have observed life at length and understood it by experience and have come to understand something of how it works in concert with how God works. And therefore, it's important that you and I take counsel. One final thought on this. It's very simple, but it does bear mentioning. You need to heed the counsel you're given. Don't become just a receptacle for all this good advice. Become a channel through which you apply it. Proverbs 19, verse 20 warns us against this. Get all the advice and instruction you can and be wise the rest of your life. The implication of that is get all the instruction you can and then go out and live it and be wise the rest of your life. James chapter 1. Don't be hearers only, but doers also. What's the point of going to the mirror, seeing that you've got a big hair sticking up, and you know, hey, I better fix that before I go downstairs and out the front door? And then foolishly, you get distracted and you go downstairs and you go out with the hair sticking up or out. And you make a fool and a clown of yourself and the brunt of your workmates' jokes. And James is saying, look, you know, you look in the mirror, fix what you see. When you read God's word, do what it says. I like the story of the golf pro who took a businessman out on the local golf course and he wanted to improve his swing. So he began to inform and correct this man about his stance and his swing, but the man would have none of it. He wasn't listening. He was a successful CEO. What he had done elsewhere, he had done well, and he assumed that, you know what, if this was his stance and this was his swing, then on past experience, you know, he's been a pretty good judge of things. And so before long, the golf pro began to agree with him, left him the way he was. As soon as the hour was up, the businessman paid him the money and headed off. Now, a man was standing nearby, had watched the whole thing and was rather disturbed by what he saw. And he said to the golf pro, he said, I can't believe what I just witnessed and what just happened. In the middle of that session, you began to tell him what he wanted to hear. The golf pro responded, quote, you know, you're right. But I've been that long in this business to know that that's what some people want. That man wasn't paying me for counsel. He was paying me for an echo. And sometimes we go to people and that's what we want. We don't want counsel. We want an echo. That's the danger of going to your peers. That's the danger of not opening your heart to godly counsel. The wise person, listen to this, the wise person is not the person who knows all the right answers. The wise person is the person who asks the right questions to those who have the right answers. It's good to know that, isn't it, in life? You don't need to know all the right answers, but there are those who will help you find them. The trick is finding them. Let's take a third thought here. Not only do we have what we call consecration and then consultation, we have thirdly what I call caution. Here's what you need to write down as a thought. Wise decisions are not made in a hurry. Wise decisions are not made in a hurry. Good decisions are not usually impulsive. They are usually reached after due care and due concern. There is prudence in patience, says the book of Proverbs. Don't we have our own proverb about that? Haste makes waste. There's a danger of being impulsive and reactionary when the best courses in life are usually those courses you have reflected upon, meditated about before you've taken a certain course of action. Let me show you in the book of Proverbs why you and I need to listen and learn. Proverbs 14 and verse 15 and 16 reads, only simpletons believe everything they are told. The prudent carefully consider their steps. The wise are cautious and avoid danger. Fools plunge ahead with great confidence. The wise are cautious, verse 16, and avoid danger. Fools run ahead. See, the fool says, oh, let's do it. The wise man says, hold on a minute. Have we thought about this? The wise says, we don't need to think about this. Let's do it. It feels good. The wise man says, hold on a minute. I don't think we've thought this through. We need to be cautious about what we're about to do. Instinct can be fallible. Proverbs 18, verse 13. What a shame, what folly to give advice before listening to the facts. And that's another verse actually on taking advice from someone. If you're looking the advice of someone, before they can advise you, they need to hear your story. If you're two sentences into your story and they have wrapped up their counsel, you know, Don't go on the basis of that. It's a fool that gives an answer before he knows all the facts. And it's the same about us. We shouldn't act impulsively. We should gather all the facts we can and think and reflect and meditate lest we make a rash decision. Proverbs 18:17 says this, any story sounds true until someone sets the record straight. Have you ever heard one side of a story and acted on the basis of that only to end up with egg in your face and embarrassment before your friends because you didn't hear the other side of the story? You acted hastily. You made a decision with only one side of the story. Someone comes along, sets the record straight, and what a fool you look. And I could go on repeating these. I'll give you one more. Proverbs 20. Verse 25, it's a dangerous thing to make a rash promise to God before counting the cost. Don't commit yourself to a course of action until you have actually counted the cost and realized what it's going to entail to obey God in that. to follow through in obedience. Folks, the point we're making here is simple. One of the wisest decisions we can make in life before crossing any intersection is to stop, look, and listen. When I was growing up as a boy in Northern Ireland, when we were at the elementary school, they taught us the Green Cross Code. They want us to get to high school. And so they said, here's what you need to do, boys and girls. When you come to a curb and you're crossing a busy road, even if you're at lights, stop, look, and listen. And then cross the road once you see nothing's coming and you don't hear the roaring engine of an approaching vehicle. It's a great piece of advice for life and the paths that we take. Stop, look, and listen. More mistakes are probably made by speed than by sloth, by impatience than by dilatoriness. Waiting allows us to have our presumptions challenged, for someone to set their accord straight, to give us a piece of information we didn't have, to challenge us about the course we're about to take. Plus, waiting upon God allows him to change a red light to a green light or a green light to a red light. We call that the open door, the closed door. God's in charge of circumstances, and as we lay our hearts open to him, take the best possible advice, we're about to make a decision, let's step back one more time, ask God to confirm it. He may confirm it by slamming the door closed in your face, or he may confirm it by opening a door. But we've got to be careful we don't become impulsive. Here's the last thought. It requires consideration. Good decision-making requires consecration, consultation, caution, consideration. Proverbs 13, verse 16. Wise people think before they act. Fools don't and even brag about it. Proverbs 14, verse 8. The wise look ahead to see what is coming, but the fools deceive themselves. The wise look ahead, they think ahead, they investigate, they anticipate, they analyze, they compare, they measure. Proverbs 19, verse 2, zeal without knowledge is not good. That's a great verse. Zeal without knowledge is not good. A person who moves too quickly may go the wrong way. I don't know about you, but I like passionate people. I like people who've got a bit of electricity, you know? You touch them and you, I got to do that, or I got to try that, or man, if they can do it, I can do it. Get you excited about life. But zeal without knowledge is not good. We need people who have got heart and head. We want to be passionate, but want to be thoughtful. Being passionate and being thoughtless, the Word of God condemns. Use your head and bring your heart along for the journey. The Word of God encourages that. We need to probe. We need to get as much information as we can. And then when we've ferreted out that information, harvested those facts, we've got the plan. As you make decisions, the Word of God encourages you to investigate, collect your information, and then order that information and make a wise decision in the light of that. Make plans in the light of what you have garnered. One other verse on this. It's the wise woman of Proverbs 31, verse 19. What do we read about her? She's energetic and strong, a hard worker. She watches for bargains. Her lights burn late into the night. Her hands are busy spinning thread. Her fingers twine the fiber. She extends a helping hand to the poor and opens her arms to the needy. She has no fear of winter for her household because all of them have warm clothes. She quilts her own bedspread. She dresses like royalty in gowns of fine clothes. It's a great thought again, like the aunt. The wise woman, the godly mother, the great homemaker is someone that understands, you know what, winter's coming, I got to knit some jumpers, I got to knit some sweaters, I've got to put together some clothes. You don't get the winter and say, Lord, we have need of jerseys. We need some sweatshirts. And God goes, well, you had all summer to knit them or to go and look for a bargain and buy them. So the Word of God encourages us to plan. Here's a statement I want you to think about. It's a great statement. You and I need, in the light of the book of Proverbs, not to let the future become a time when we wish we had done what we're not doing now. Think about that. That's the price of the sermon right there. Not to allow the future to become a time when we wish we had done what we're not doing now. What does God want you to do now? What do you need to do now to be where you believe God is directing you. You need to investigate and you need to plan, because a dream without a plan is only a wish. What we've said so far is this. When you and I find ourselves at a crossroads or a fork in the road, let's make sure our hearts are kept with all diligence, that they are open to what God wants us to do, that they are informed by the Word of God, and that you and I are predisposed to obedience, because God will only lead those who are willing to follow. And there we stand, oh God, lead me in the right path. Direct my paths as I acknowledge you in all my ways. And God will direct us through His Word and through His Spirit, and then He might bring someone in who's a good advisor or counselor, and they will also take His Word and, directed by His Spirit, give us good counsel. And there we stand, and God's will is becoming clearer and clearer. The open heart, the obedient heart has made that possible, the counsel of others. We step back. We take another look at it just to make sure we're not being impulsive, we're not being driven by a goosebump theology. And it's all still there. It's all looking good. This is a good path to take. This is a good decision to make. And then we have investigated all our options, and in the light of what's possible, we have made a plan and we make our decision. But there's one last thought, folks. It's this: even when we make that decision, God still might overrule it. Let me take you to a couple of verses here and we'll be done shortly. Proverbs 16, verse 1. Proverbs 16, verse 1, we can gather our thoughts, but the Lord gives the right answer. Proverbs 16, verse 1. Then Proverbs 16, verse 9, we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. And then finally here, Proverbs 19, verse 21, you can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose prevails. Folks, this is encouraging. It may not seem that way at the start, but it is. And I'll tell you why it's encouraging to know that even when you have made good plans and you've made a good decision and you're headed down a certain path, it is ultimately God's plans that will prevail. God might cut you off at the pass. God might close a door when you thought, sure, it was to be an open door. You see, God is so in control that even when we act with the best of motives and the fullest of understandings, our decisions still fall short of His perfect plan. Right? I mean, even if your conscience is clear and your heart is right, we're not omniscient, are we? There's only one person's omniscient, that's God. He knows everything. He's the Alpha or the Omega, the beginning and the ending. And even though I make what perceived to me and others as a good, informed, biblical, godly decision that seems to have no harm in it or unrighteousness in it, God could still stop that from coming to full term. Why? Because He's got a better plan, or He sees something we don't see. And it's good to know that. It's good to know that my fruitfulness in life does not rest on my decisions, even the best of them. That takes the worry out of living. Now, it doesn't take the obedience out of living, and it doesn't make us passive. We've got to do all these things we're saying. But even when I make a decision, God can make His own decision about my decision. And even though I make good plans, ultimately it is His plan that will prevail. And the nice side to that is, should you be here discouraged about, hey, pastor, you keep talking about good decisions, meet me for lunch and I'll tell you about some of the bad decisions I've made. That's another nice thing about that. Even when you make a bad decision, God's purposes still prevail. And He can work all things together for good. Marriages that got off to a bad start, marriages that were based on bad choices, can still be put right, amen? You need to repent of those like the prodigal, but the Father stands waiting. He's got a new life for you and a new path for you to take. The final outcome of things does not depend on our wisdom or on the wisdom of others. It depends upon the one of whom Isaiah said, His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, His ways higher than ours. You may not know this, but American cities are becoming very congested. If you've ever driven the 405 freeway in LA, which I've done many times, you'll know what I'm talking about. Or if you've had to go to Chicago and drive the ring roads of that major city, you'll realize sometimes it takes you a half an hour to go a couple of miles. And so the government's been thinking about this and they've come up with a solution. And the solution is automated highways. It's like something you've seen in a sci-fi movie. You'll get into a car someday and you'll punch in your direction in some kind of GPS system, and you'll just sit back and that car will follow the path for you, because embedded in the asphalt will be sensors. Along the side rails will be sensors that will feed information to a mother computer, which will direct the traffic, splitting cars off this way and that way, ensuring that they exactly stay at 75 miles an hour with maybe a margin of 6 feet between them. But you've no worry, the car in front of you is not going to brake because the computer is controlling everything. Sounds like a great idea. Well, the problem is, listen to one of these managers. The only thing wrong with this idea is we can't get people to comfortably trust the system. It's not a technology issue, it's a people issue. See, people don't like to lose control. I think I'd have a problem with that. I don't mind knowing that that plane's flying an automatic pilot, as long as there's two warm bodies in the left seat and the right seat, that should that thing disengage, they know what to do. But me sitting there with no ability to control the thing, there's no steering wheel for me to lay hold of, I have a problem. And you know what? We're like that in life. Some of us don't want to give God the steering wheel. We like to hold all the options in our own hand. But I'd encourage you to trust Him with all your heart, to lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and do what He's asked you to do as a responsible human being. But know this, in the end, He will direct your steps. And you can make your plans, but ultimately His plan will prevail. And ultimately His plan is best. My brother wrote in the flyleaf of a book he gave me many years ago, plan to be His plan. That's the best plan.
Indeed, it is. You're listening to Know the Truth with Philip DeCourcy in a message titled A Step in the Right Direction, Part 2, from our study in the book of Proverbs called That Makes Good Sense. As we learn from Philip today, it is good to seek and gain wisdom so we can live fruitful lives. But God is ultimately in control, and our life's fruitfulness doesn't solely depend on our own decisions. It's orchestrated by God. So we can live worry-free, assured that as we follow Christ, God's plan will ultimately prevail. What a relief. But there are still many living in fear and anxiety with no direction or wisdom because they don't yet have a relationship with Jesus. And that's why here at Know the Truth, we share the gospel with millions of listeners each day over the radio and internet, some hearing the gospel for the first time. And as a listener-funded ministry, it's your financial gifts that help cover the cost of providing Know the Truth to listeners all over the world. So, would you consider making a one-time donation or perhaps giving monthly as a Truth Ambassador? You can call 888-644-8811 or give online at ktt.org. And as a thank you for your generous gift, we'll send you an encouraging book that follows two churches during the coronavirus pandemic and their courageous decisions to reopen despite orders to remain closed. It's titled God versus Government, Taking a Biblical Stand When Christ and Compliance Collide. Again, call 888-644-8811 or give online at ktt.org. You can also write to us, if you're able, write down this address on an envelope. That's Know the Truth, Post Office Box 30250, Anaheim Hills, California, 92809. And if you've never reached out to us before, we want to welcome you with an encouraging devotional booklet from Pastor Philip. It's called Resting in God's Daily Sufficiency. Ask for it when you call 888-644-8811 or visit ktt.org. Well, I'm your host, Wayne Shepherd. Join us again next time for more practical wisdom from the book of Proverbs. That'll be next time, right here on Know the Truth. Today's program was produced and sponsored by Know the Truth Incorporated. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free."